As everybody's ready, we'll proceed to the next case. The United States versus Soto Montero.
Yes, good morning. I'm Dean Strang and I represent Edgar Soto Montero. If it pleases the court, in most ways, Mr. Soto Montero is as American as apple pie. But he's not American legally. He is legally a Mexican citizen. And he was not then entitled, without criminal penalty, to return to the United States after having been deported following a felony. He did return. He came home as he understood his place in the world. And the question that this case then presents, and it's a very narrow case with a narrow question, is when does extraordinary assimilation or acculturation mitigate an offense, and specifically the offense of illegal reentry, in a way that permits a district court, if it chooses, to exercise discretion to depart downward at sentencing.
Now you're focusing on the culpability of this man for doing this as opposed to reducing his punishment. I mean, they're closely related.
If I understand the question, Judge Wood, that's right, and that's the clarity that an opinion in this case can bring, is that the focus here was on mitigation of the offense. How serious was it to reenter the United States illegally for this person, rather than what are the consequences of having been caught for doing that?
But what sense do we have that Judge Randa thought that this was a prohibited factor? Because if Judge Randa was aware that he could take such a thing into account, but simply didn't think this was an appropriate case to do it in, we can reassure him that he was right on the law. We can get that far. But then at that point, our review stops. We have no jurisdiction.
And I don't get any sense from the sentencing transcript that he thought he was prohibited absolutely from departing for this reason. My sense is that he just wasn't clear on what room he had, what authority, what the actual scope of his authority was here.
But he made a tentative decision at least, and I guess, I mean, you present this as a really unusual case, but I'm not convinced that it is. There are all manner of people in the United States, many from Mexico, but some from other countries as well, who came here when they were very, very small children and who really have no particular recollection of any other home but here. And it seems to me, under your theory, it would become administratively nightmarish for judges who are dealing with this return without the Attorney General's permission offense. Every single, well, did you go to first grade here? Did you go to kindergarten, preschool? You know, do you speak Spanish? I mean, it's just, I think Judge Randa understood that in a really extraordinary case, perhaps he could depart, but on the whole, this court has said you really need to look underneath this cultural assimilation, look at family ties, look at the other things that the guidelines address a little more expressly.
And I don't get as much from Judge Randa's comments as Your Honor does, but I'm with the court this far, which is I think that Judge Randa wasn't sure exactly which specific factors he ought to be looking at under a term like cultural assimilation, particularly given Bautista, the decision from this court that gathered a fair amount of discussion, both in writing and orally at sentencing, in which, you know, this court had expressed some dissatisfaction with the term cultural assimilation and said that it tends to blur the specific factors that you need to look at under Kuhn to decide what's prohibited, what's discouraged, what's encouraged, what's not addressed by the commission at all, and then apply the appropriate analysis. So I don't think that a district judge or that this district judge thought this isn't extraordinary enough. At least I can't call anything that clear from his comments. But I also, and I'm really not with the court on one point, I think that deciding what's extraordinary or what warrants departure up or down in a given case is the core of what district judges do at sentencing and will have to do as long as we're in a regimen where departures are permitted up or down from, you know, a guideline range. And I'm not entitled even to come here, in my view, and talk about whether, in the end, on the merits, this is the extraordinary case or not, because I'm not attacking his exercise of discretion. I'm saying I think he, in, you know, from his own words, I understood him to be uncertain about what the scope of his authority was in considering the argument that I made on behalf of Mr. Sotomontero.
Well, he would like to know more, but from what he knows, it doesn't merit a departure downward.
I'm sorry?
He would like to know more about cultural assimilation, from what, as he understands it, it didn't merit it.
Well, and that, even that's not so clear. Judge Mannion, he said, he acknowledged that we had a stronger case than Bautista. He acknowledged, he called the argument attractive, but he was a little bit reluctant to grant it. I think he just, those were his words, I think he just wasn't sure of the territory he was in here. And again, I think the clarity that I might have done a better job of giving and that this court might is the focus here was on mitigation of the offense.
Appreciation of the seriousness of returning without permission.
Right. Rather than, gee, the ramifications of being caught are especially harsh. He's deportable, he has deportable status, or, you know, I didn't argue that deportation is punishment, but others have. So if you look at Guzman and Ferrul, Bautista, Gonzalez-Portillo from this case, all of those cases had a focus on the consequences of being caught and prosecuted. Now, in some of those, you know, sometimes you can depart, sometimes you can't. Deportation isn't punishment, but being in a deportable status may have extra legal consequences that can be considered. The rules are very fractured when the focus is on consequences, but this really is a very different case, and I think that's the point here, is that this is something that I presented as mitigation of the seriousness of the offense, and not only should it apply in illegal reentry cases, but it may be peculiarly strong in an illegal reentry case where the crime itself is simply coming into the country.
Well, you can, I mean, I suppose you could take it to even further, say he was 2 days old when he came into the country and he was,
right,
40 years old.
Right. And what's extraordinary will be a discretionary call. And again, I mean, it may be maddening and it may be hard to separate one case from another, but that's what district judges do every day at sentencing. And I don't think it's avoidable as long as we want the flexibility of a system that allows departures for extraordinary circumstances.
The other aspect, he had a family. What was his family situation?
Whole families here, both above him and below him. Parents here, permanent resident aliens, siblings here, now naturalized citizens, children here, American citizens. He's not a Spanish speaker. You know, this, I mean, you haven't met him, but I have, and I mean, culturally, this is somebody who thinks of himself as an American, speaks English as the first language, doesn't know the first thing about Mexico. So, and again, whether that amounts to extraordinary circumstances is a discretionary call. I don't get to be here arguing the merits of that.
What, in real terms, would a downward departure net him as regard to the sentence?
I had suggested something like 2 points. He got 77 months, which is the low end of his range. 2 points would have taken him to, I think, 63 to 78. You know.
And then what?
He'll be deported. You know, he is deportable. He will have harsher conditions of confinement. But I can't argue that because for this offense, the guideline takes that into account. I mean, everybody who's an illegal reentrant is deportable by definition, so that the harshness of the consequences are not an appropriate basis here for downward departure on this court's prior decision.
So he gets out of prison sooner and is deported sooner, I guess is the way that works.
Right, which was the argument the government made in Bautista and that this court rejected and said, well, that's not a paradox. What we're talking about in a case like Bautista is offsetting particularly severe punishment here with less time so that
I agree. That's what it is. And, you know, he just doesn't know anybody in Mexico.
No, and on that narrow point, at least Bautista's on my side on that. Thank you.
Ms. Johnson?
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Tracy Johnson, and I represent the United States. It's the government's position that the district court was well aware that cultural assimilation can be a ground for downward departure based on Bautista.
But didn't what the district, I was just looking at the transcript again as we were listening to Mr. Strang, and the district court interprets cultural assimilation, or interprets Bautista, I guess, as saying that he's got to disaggregate, if you will, cultural assimilation into other factors that are in the guidelines, like family ties and the like. And so it's not clear to me that he is sure that he really could look at cultural assimilation as a whole. What's your response to that?
My response to that is, Your Honor, that the district court looked at several things when it was deciding whether or not cultural assimilation could be applied in this case. First, the court was aware, because both the defendant and the government cited Bautista, and defense counsel at appendix page 19 stated that Bautista discourages but does not disapprove a departure on cultural assimilation. The district court then acknowledged that the defendant lived here his entire life, that English was his first language, and acknowledged that there were actually more factors in this case in Soto Montero than there were in Bautista.
But let me just, I finally found the page I was thinking of. At page 25 of the appellant's appendix, he's talking about, Judge Rand is talking about Bautista, and he's saying that the term cultural assimilation or blurring can occur. And then he says, I will admit that there is more here than in Bautista, but the court's a little reluctant to grant the motion because the Seventh Circuit seems to hint, I think, by Bautista that cultural assimilation is one which should be broken down into those definitive standards that the court normally assesses in looking at departures. Then he says, I may be totally wrong on this, but that's my sensitive one. And then he looks at, he tries to break it down, but can we take that, especially since he himself expresses his uncertainty about what Bautista really means? Unfortunately, not all of our opinions are crystal clear, and maybe this district judge was making a valid point that there was room for interpretation.
Your Honor, I do acknowledge that at appellate pages 25 to 26 of the sentencing transcript, that the district court did inquire as to whether or not there were definitive standards for the definition of cultural assimilation. However, he did then go on page 26 to list the factors that he believed were considerations, and in addition to that, he took into consideration some of the factors which were provided by defense counsel. He particularly acknowledged the close contact with the country, no memories of Mexico, and then he pointed out that the defendant had requested that in cultural assimilation, national allegiance and values also be included in the list of cultural assimilation considerations. And according to this conglomeration of considerations, that this was all greater than family, than the issue of family ties, which he originally linked to cultural assimilation. He then goes on to analyze the definition of national allegiance and shared experiences on page 26. And he states, what is a person's national allegiance to a nation if they keep violating the laws? He then further inquires about what is the definition of shared experiences and explains the definition as he sees it and suggests that it's the element or factor of community in which one shares and cooperates with the primary and key values, but an individual who is a law violator is not one who demonstrates shared experiences.
Well, that's true, but of course we don't banish U.S. citizens who are law violators, and sadly enough, as you well know, there are a few.
Yes.
So why are these appropriate ways of testing your affiliation with the community?
Well, that is the issue that he used, that those were the issues that he took into consideration. What he saw that this court had placed forth in Bautista, in addition to those statements that had been requested by defense counsel. And he acknowledged that that may not be the consideration, but it appears to the district court that those were the considerations that were set forth in Bautista, in addition to those considerations that were set forth by the defense counsel, and on that basis, he denied the motion. And because he did have the understanding that this was not a prohibited factor, it is the position of the government that this is not appropriate for appellate review. But should the court decide that this is indeed appropriate for appellate review, that there is no abuse of discretion. And when one looks at the record, particularly the criminal record of the defendant, and even I think that one of the more comparable cases to it would be Lippman, which is out of the Ninth Circuit, when that defendant as well asked that his circumstances be mitigated, he, like Soto Montero, had a family here. Soto Montero has 5 children. Lippman had 7 children. He alleged that he had come back due to the fact that he had learned that his disabled daughter had been sexually assaulted. But even under those circumstances, the Ninth Circuit found that it was not sufficient means for a downward departure on the basis of cultural assimilation. He had been in the country 23 years before he was actually deported as a result of crimes that he had committed. His entire family lived in the United States, the same as Soto Montero's. So out of the variety of cases that have gone before the appellate courts, I believe that Lippman is the most comparable, and in that case, a motion for downward departure on the basis of cultural assimilation was denied as well. So on those grounds, the government will request that the decision of the district court be upheld. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. I believe your time has expired, Mr. Strang. Before the case will be taken under advisement.